Ready? Page 693, Oscar the Blasphemer. What is the case of the blasphemer? Chumash tells us the son of an Israelite woman went out among the children of Israel. He was the son of an Egyptian man and a Jewish woman. And he went out and he had a fight. And he lost the case. And the son of this person, the Israeli woman, pronounced the name and blasphemed. Didn't realize the word.
Blasphemed.
And he blasphemed. Do you end with a blaspheme and a period? He blasphemed. Now, it first says, when we introduce this guy, he went out. In the English, it's this: the son of an Israeli woman went out. But in Hebrew, the first word is, I'm correct, the first word is he went out. Bayetze. What does it mean he went out? What's going on when he went out? So Rashi says, the simple meaning is he left his own tent and he went under the camp, of course, where he blasphemed publicly. Since the sin was witnessed, he was liable to the death penalty. Homiletically speaking, the sages explain, Rashi quotes this, that he left his share in the world to come by virtue of this heinous sin. So when it says Vayetze, Rashi says, Mehechen Yatza, where did he go? Reb Levi is the first mandama, Me'ailama Yatza. He left the world. He left his spiritual world. That's the first answer. And then Rashi quotes, it's important that Rashi's quoting it, two other opinions in the Medrash of what this guy, what it says Vayetze, what was going on here. So we're going to read the English. Reb Brechia taught that the son of the Israeli woman went about in the camp scoffing about the lechem upon him. Right before this chapter, what we're discussing here, the showbread, which we discussed in a different class, c.rabbihubba.com. But we just, you take flour and bake it into 12 loaves. Right before, it's talking about the 12 loaves. So Rashi, Rabbi Rachia quotes, that they follow each other. That means after the story of the 12 loaves is when this guy went out. So where did he go out? He went about, he said like this, a king normally eats warm, freshly baked bread. Why should God, if you know how it works, only has bread a week later? Have cold bread in the tabernacle. So an Israeli, because he said he fought with someone, rebuked him and said, don't speak disrespectfully. It came to blows, and that's when he uttered the curse. So it follows. The first mandama says, Vayetze could be a new thing. He's going out of his spirituality. Second one says, no, follow the word. The word before talking about the showbread bread. So there must have been something going on with the showbread. What about the showbread? The showbread reality was, we baked it on a Friday and ate it the next Shabbos, next meaning 8 days later. If it's a holiday, it'll be 9. It'll be 10 days later. So he said, what type of craziness is this? It's 10 days later. That's crazy. Therefore, he started making fun and he blasphemed. And the third answer, which Rashi quotes as well, another version of the strife, which I think is a more popular one, is indicated by the information that we are given. Again, it's all in the story. It says an Israeli, he was the son of a woman, but of a Jewish woman, but a non-Jewish man. And he fought with the son of an Israeli woman, an Israeli man. So a half Jew fought a full Jew. So why is he giving these details? Oh, so he said, I'll tell you what's in these details. Because the fight was over. He went out into the camp. The fight was over. Inheritance. We believe as Jews that the inheritance gets passed on from the father. So what tribe are you? If you're a Jew or not, depends on your mother. Once you're a Jew, what tribe you are depends on your father. So this man had a Jewish mother, Jew, Egyptian father. So he came forward and said, okay, listen, I want to get the part of the camp. I want part of the inheritance of the land. In the desert, we divided the land by the tribes. He said, okay, where's my portion? And the other man who has the son of both, which means he has a portion of his land, they're like, yeah, you're too close to my property line. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm part of your property line. He goes, no, that's not the way it works. You do not have property because your father was not Jewish. That created a fight. And in that fight, he cursed God. So Rashi gives three interpretations. Either he left this world spiritually. Either he fought over the bread or he fought over land. Now, Rashi's not just giving you, according to me, not just the three whys, it's also three whens. When would this fight have occurred? You'd have to say, if you want to say it occurred when the bread was around, the Jews left Egypt on Passover. You didn't know that? That's bad. Then a few days later, the sea split. Okay. Then we have Sinai coming up to Sinai in 49 days, whatever, minus 7, right? Then what happens? Then we have 120 days of Moses going up, coming down, golden calf. 40 going to ask God forgiveness. 40 more coming out, getting forgiveness. So now when? Yom Kippur.
So it comes down. It
says, do we have a Mishkan yet? No Mishkan yet.
It wasn't 30 days that Moses
No. We don't have a Mishkan yet. Do we have bread, showbread? No. We start building. When does the Mishkan get built?
Hanukkah.
Yes, and it's taken down and rebuilt in Nisan. Nisan.
First
of Nisan. So if he was looking at the bread and saying, well, God gets cold bread, you'd have to assume that that gives us a time frame when this occurred. It would have occurred sometime in the beginning of the month of Nisan, which would be almost a year later after they left. So he says, oh, he saw the showbread, that's where he gets upset. If you want to say the flags, and they want to say the fight was over inheritance, when did the flags and these things start happening? Beginning first pasuk in Bamidbar, that Bamidbar is English numbers. First pasuk says it happened in the second month of the second year. So the Nisan you're talking about, when the Mishkan goes up, a month later is when they start doing the flags. Which, if they're fighting over inheritance with the flags,
when you say the flags, you mean where they hold stand or relative to the Mishkan? Is that
yes,
the flags.
I want to see what they call it here. In the Midbar, the beginning of a Midbar, it says...
describe their land in Israel where it's going to be.
No, but that census, the tribal leaders...
Where they camp.
With encampments. Good word.
So this guy wasn't talking about his inheritance.
Here it says the four formations. So the formations of the camp... Listen, he wasn't talking about food. Saying, where am I now?
So where am I supposed to stand? Line up?
Where am I standing? And the guy's like, the guy, when that old Saturday Night Live skit, when the elevator, one person in the elevator, the guy walks in and stand next to the guy, like, don't you know... Yeah. Elevator etiquette, you walk to the other side. So, like, this guy's walking in, he's like, standing, he's like, what are you doing over my shoulder? Well, I'm looking at this camp. He goes, why are you here? Who's your father? I don't know. I'll go with my mother. No, it doesn't go by your mother, it goes by your father. I'm Jewish based on my mother. We don't care. In order to get a space, you want to get a seat, a ticket, you need a father.
And that only issue only came up when
and that only came up flag. When they started doing that. So according to me, which is, I'm adding on something that should be obvious.
Which tunnel did he cross the Red Sea through?
Oh. I don't know. That's a good question. Good question. They don't bring this down. You're right. What they say is this. So what they say, we have three reasons why there was a fight, three argument, and we're adding on. It's not only a why, it's a when. Now, the reason why I'm saying, and I'm focusing on the when, is because in a second from now. The end of Shalach, after the spies, we have another story here. That is out of order, I might add. The story sounds like this. The children of Israel, we are now in 15 Shalach. The children of Israel were in the wilderness, and they found a man gathering wood on the Shabbos day, the violator of Shabbos. And they, what are they going to do? You know how to do this? So they placed him in custody, because for it not being clarified what should be done with him. They don't know what to do with this guy. Now, here it says, Rashi, it's Rashi, that's why I'm quoting this. So the same Rashi, even though it's different Midrashim, Rashi says, he explains it here. We're in Shalach now. This took place, when did the Shabbos desecration happen? The very beginning of the sojourn in the wilderness. Otherwise, no reason for the Torah to mention the obvious fact that they were in the wilderness. It says they were in the wilderness when they found the guy. What are you saying wilderness for? The actual word wilderness means they just got them. That such a thing should happen so soon is to Israel's discredit, for the nation had observed only one Shabbos properly. And this individual desecrated the next one.
So it's 2 weeks in?
2 weeks in. 2 weeks in, it says. It's a famous line that the Jews would keep two Shabbos, the Shia would come because they went back to it then.
There were no laws of Shabbos given yet. We got the Mount Sinai, we had laws of Shabbos.
Excellent. We spoke about a couple years ago, it could be on RabbiHubba.com, that Shabbos might have been given prior to Sinai, almost for sure, in Mara. Mara?
Right, okay.
Marah.
But
they gave
were
a few laws.
Mara yet.
They went
a week later.
No, two weeks in maybe. Could be. That's one of the discussions.
Oh, okay.
That's a debate also. Okay. So let's get this straight. Shabbos desecrator, according to the Rashi argument, according to Rashi, was, as you knew, they couldn't keep two. They won in. So let's say you're assuming it's after they left after they left Egypt for sure, after 7 days for sure, then the sea split, then they had 3 days no water, they started to fight, that's around then. That's when the month starts showing up, also possible. And that's when this guy violated Shabbos. When does the other violation happen? Well, we have three interpretations. We don't know the first one. First one says he just went out of his mind. Okay, that could be anything. Second one is going to be, according to Garbo, the first month of the second year in Nisan.
When they built the Mishkan
and they had the bread. And the third one is going to be over there a month after that, year two.
When they're making the tribal designations.
Now I'm going to show you something else here in Rashi. Hold on. Otsko leaves us out. We're going to read in a second. So here, Oswald, the Chumash said correctly, when they had the guy, the Shabbos violator, what did they do? They placed him in custody. For it had not been clarified what should be done to him. They don't know what to do to the guy. Rashi, I think, adds on. Only the nature and procedure of the death penalty had not been clarified. But they knew that Shabbos desecration is a death penalty. That they knew. They didn't know what. Four options. We have four death penalties. They don't know which one. Let's go back to us now in Parshas Emor. Here it says in Emor, they placed this. Now was one of the blasphemous guy. They placed him under guard to clarify for themselves through Hashem what to do. And Rashi says, Oshkol skipped the smart move. Rashi says like this. Why does it say they placed him? Him means he was placed alone. Rashi says these words. They did not place the Shabbos desecrator with him, because both of them occurred at the same time. But they knew the Shabbos desecrator was going to get killed, and they didn't know if this guy was going to get killed. The blasphemer guy, they were unaware what to do with the guy. Maybe death, maybe lashes, maybe jail. We never had jail, but maybe then we had jail. Maybe it's a poo-poo. Maybe it's nothing. We don't know anything. The other guy, says the pasuk, it's a different Hebrew, for instead of saying they placed him under guard to clarify to Hashem, that's because they know what to do at all. Here it says they placed him for it not been clarified what should be done. But that means they knew exactly what should be done. They don't know exactly how it should be done. So what's the obvious question going on right now? The obvious question. Elias, I had one good comment tonight. Let's go for a second. The obvious question is, how does Rashi say that these two people should have been in jail at the same time when the Shabbos desecrator we just established, when we knew this, a death penalty happened early in the game, prior to Sinai.
Second weekend,
whatever that means, second week. From when we're counting, it's second weekend. And this person is what? Second year in. Rashi says, I don't want to put them in the same cell because one guy's a death penalty and one guy's not a death penalty. We, according to this Rashi, the simplistic motion, see RabbiHamad.com when Charles puts it up for the next one. We're going to discuss it on a five-minute video. But we don't want to put these two guys together. A for sure death penalty guy and a not for sure death penalty guy don't share the same cell. Okay, we have a better question. Actually, what are you talking about, same cell? See you later. That is the bomb, in my opinion. Bomb question has to be asked.
If you assume that they can't be in the same cell together for 40 years.
So, Pascal hits a home run. The Maral of Prague. Not Galicia. Prague is Bohemia, Czechoslovakia. The Maral of Prague says this shot. And the Taz, who Charles usually likes, says this is a dochuk. It's very, what's dochuk in English? I mean, it doesn't mean you got to push to squeeze this in. It doesn't belong there. But the Maral of Prague says what Charles said. Just because the guy committed the crime the first week, who says he didn't stay in jail for a while, maybe he was still in jail a year later. Now, the reason why that's a dot. Now, the Maral says, I want to defend myself for a second. At this point in time, the Jews are traveling. Moses disappears for 120 days. They're busy gathering money. Who said they had time? They knew he's a death penalty guy. Who said they had time to sit down and decide how to kill this guy? So once you already extend from the second week in the desert, almost 6 months for sure, okay, so 6 months more. That's what the Maral says. And therefore, they went in jail at the same time. One committed the crime a year early. In America, that's pretty fine. You have people on death row for eternity, right? But the Taz says that's a tremendous dachuk to say that. He says it's very high. He doesn't even say why. The obvious reason, I think, according to it would be why, is because in Judaism, once the decision is made, the death penalty is carried out immediately, no delay. And in Judaism, which I think makes sense, the death penalty is immediate right away because that's a merciful.
Kindness. Yeah.
What did you say?
Kindness,
right? It's merciful to kill the guy right away instead of having him sit on death row forever. And I would add, not to get political, it's a deterrent. When you kill the guy right away, it is a deterrent. But he's sitting on death row for 22 years, and everyone's like, what's this guy doing again? It doesn't help deter other crimes. But that's not what we do anyway. We don't do it as a deterrent. We do it because the guy killed, we kill him. So, again, you can't go after Chasko because Maral of Prague says this. Maral of Prague says, listen, we already delayed from day one till Sinai. He didn't explain exactly why that's delayed. Then there's definitely a delay. Mo's not around. Even though you could also say, well, Moses is not around, who cares? Well, Moses has to be of a capital punishment. They have a court system. Maybe they didn't have a court system because Yisro didn't show up yet. He doesn't say this, but that's part of what I think he was thinking. So Maral says, Einachana. Maral says, listen, the games were two different time periods of the actual transgressions, but the occurrence of them almost being in the same jail cell wouldn't make sense. And then we separate them because we don't want a lifer. We don't want a lifer in with a guy who's in for a week, which I think in American system we might do also. But we separate that. Why? That's really because of logical. The guy's in there for life. He has nothing to lose. He's not going to treat other people well.
Is it also possible that the guy that's the blasphemer doesn't know what tribe he's in? They don't know what jail cell to put him in?
Cute, but not Rashi says no. Now, so what we have.
I have a question, Rabbi.
Yes.
Rabbi, for the blasphemer, if it was so late, why didn't he raise the issue of what tribe he was in when they first began to move?
Oh, so
he would have known. He would have known right then that no one would let him march with them, and there's no indication that they had anybody else who didn't belong to a tribe marching.
Right. So for some reason, Eliezer got it right. And Eliezer said that in Bamidbar, so how do you understand, Stephen? You have to ask on yourself. You might be right. When in Bamidbar, in the second month of the second year, that's how Numbers begins, in the second paragraph, in the second chapter, that is, it says the formation of the camps. What were they doing? You have to ask this. What were they doing for that first year? From the simple reading of the Chumash, it's possible that it was just one big smorgasbord. One big smorgasbord until God in the second year said, by the way, let's divide the camps up according to Yaakov, whatever it was. But again, if that's the way the Chumash is understood, which is on the simple level how it's read, then that's it. So for the first year, there was no debate on encampments. No, everyone was just wherever you want to be. We don't care if a Dan guy is next to a Gad guy and next to a Reuben guy. Now we're dividing the camps up by tribes. Now became an issue.
But the idea of walking through your own tunnel through this.
But Charles had a question of the whole tunnel.
Because they, that's a Medrash says there were 12 different routes and every tribe went their own passage.
So what would he have done? I don't know.
Maybe his mother's. Maybe at that point.
Oh, maybe tribe. Like, oh, that's right, because that could be.
It's only about inheritance, is your
right.
Thing. Maybe
very smart. Very smart. So it could be, right? Very smart. You hear this? And that would answer even Rosen. If you want to say that they were divided in that first year, you could still say that at that point he was divided, but he didn't own a piece of land. It was divided by tribe. He went with his mother's tribe. But now that we're doing it more of a division based on father's tribe, maybe that's what's happening in year two. We have two approaches to year two. Either year one is a smorgasbord, which Garbo liked, or we could say it was not a smorgasbord, but it wasn't official based on paternal lineage. Now that it's paternal lineage, it became an issue. But I like the question, Stephen. I like it. I like Hassel's answer. So one answer I saw. Now, better this question I just asked you. So if the Rala Prague is talking about it, that's 1600s. The Taz is talking about it. Of again, this contradiction of Rashi. Now the Taz wants to answer. First he says, Maral, I don't know what you're talking about. The later year, you could just say that the Midrashim argue. Like we always have. Rashi, for some reason, quotes both. Okay, or you could say a little better that Rashi is quoting three things according to the first approach. What was the blasphemous reason? You could say it's showbread a year later. You could say it's the tribal encampments a year later. But you could say what they say is the simple interpretation. Homiletically, something simple. Homiletically, the sages explain that he left his share in the world to come by virtue of a heinous sin. By Yeti means he went out. Doesn't mean there was a specific fight. He wasn't fighting over a tribe place. Wasn't fighting over a showbread. He just was bad seed and decided to curse God or whatever the reason is. And the cursing is why he left the nation. But the reason could have been any reason. It's not tied into those reasons. According to that, it could have happened week two. Could have happened week two. The next reason, this is what I said before. I said that when Rashi gives three reasons why, it's also three reasons when. But we had a good reason when. On two and three. We didn't have a when for one.
Correct.
When showbread is a year later, when camp is a year and a month later, when he went out of his mind, an average Tuesday night, the first Tuesday. Okay, so now we could say, and this what we're saying is what? That the Medrash later on that says that it was the first Shabbos, that's going with the Medrash that says he went out of his mind.
It's not the same guy, though, is it?
No, here there's no name, actually. I have to look at the measures, what the name is. Here there's no name. Bashta says it regularly. Quotes it for free. The happens to be what you're saying is great, but the Taz says it. The Medrash, who's the automatic measure? She discussed that. What do you want to say?
There's some connection between the father of somebody or she, the gatherer. Oh, Salafa,
yeah.
That's her dad.
Maybe, yes. We discussed that a couple years. We had a good one. Check over Hubman.com. That was a great one. That the five names of the girls were the five names of the five complaints they had.
The gatherer was the dad, and that happened in the second week. And she only has an issue with the inheritance. That's still a month. And
the Gemara for sure said 40 years later.
They bring it up 40 years later. So
the Rashi says that the daughters of Fluff loved Israel. They were the original Zionists. They loved Israel. Why? Because they came to fight over land. Everyone's answers that they can't find a way. Is that about a love Israel? No, they like land.
Yeah.
Two different things. I don't like Israel land. I like land. I want property. I want property anywhere. And that's the great loss. Where's the proof? So one of the proofs is because if they just wanted land, they would have been fighting as soon as the father died. When does the fight begin? Well, it usually begins before the father dies. But let's assume that the real fight begins when the guy dies, and all of a sudden, five different kids produce five different wills. Right? Okay, so answer number, now we gave already a couple answers. One, this easiest answer, one answer to argue, and he's going with the theory one. One answer I saw wild, I love these answers, even though it shouldn't. But once in a while, over the course of time, we've discussed this, that writing a sefer in the old days was not easy. You needed a scribe, you needed a quill, you needed light daytime hours, there was no backspace. That brutal. No spell check, Garber. I don't know if Garber knows what life is without a spell check, right? It wasn't easy, right? So it took a long time to write. And over the years, they made some typos. And there's some famous typos over the years that people have said, more of acronyms. Oh, we've done a couple in this class.
What's the color of that?
We've done a couple in this class of an acronym that people spelled one way, and really the acronym is something else. And over the years, someone messed up on the acronym. God, you know, I have to look if we haven't done that. So here they want to say this. When Rashi says, which I would have said, because Rashi seems to say it, Rashi, by the story of the Shabbos violator, says it's an insult to the Jews that it says what? That such a thing could have happened so soon to Israel's discredit. For the nation that has observed only one Shabbos properly, let me read the Hebrew, where it's really going on the Medrash. V'ganush shal Yisrael, v'bachasav, shalei shamru ela Shabbos v'shoina u'b'shnia, the second one. So we simply understand second one means the second Shabbos. And they want to say, no, second means the second year. That means it's still embarrassing. Now, of course, coming from what we did 20 minutes ago, they kept one Shabbos and not two. It's much more embarrassing. I understand that. But if let's say you never would have known this Rashi, you wouldn't have known Garbo's Rashi. You would have said, listen, the Jews in the desert, what'd they do? They kept Shabbos for 1 year out of the 40. Well, that's terrible. 1 year out of the 40, what were they doing? So they want to learn that, no, the Shnia doesn't mean the second Shabbos, but the second year. And therefore, that means both people have the transgressions on the same time. But we have a problem here. According to the simple reading, this is year one and this is year two. So we have the obvious way. Argue. Okay, two Jews are argument. That's not a problem. Either we're going to move this guy over here, or we're going to move this guy over here. That's how we're going to do it. We got him on the same. Or you're going to do Charles's good answer, morale. Then no, this happened here. But we kept this guy in jail for that one.
Why again do we have to have him be at the same exact time?
Rashi says, over by us in this week's parasha, and there will be a second share that Chas will put up on Rebella.com. That said, they did not share a cell because one was a death penalty and one was a maybe death penalty.
But he's talking about the other.
He says, when Rashi said not share a cell, he said the Shabbos violator. So Rashi clearly over here says that the Shabbos violator and the blasphemy guy could have shared a cell in physical reality. We're saying why? Why the physical reality is not in the same game. Question. Sorry, it took so long.
I didn't have a question.
Oh, you had a block. Okay. Either way, it's good. All good. So answer number one is that it's always in year two, right? And it's a typo. So the other answer is, so first we have one answer with taking the first year guy, violator, moving him over. Then we said maybe the other guy moved over because he lost his mind right away. He lost his mind. Argument number two. Or we said that he was in jail for a long time. Another approach. Fascinating approach is that when we say, what does it mean we say, let's go to showman bread? He says, oh God, showman bread, 8 days. Which type of king has cold bread? We were learning until now, like most of them, that meant when the laws of the Mishkan were applicable. In reality, in the second year, as you said correctly, in those times is when he said, what's going on? Early commentators want to say, no. He didn't have to wait for the actual law to occur. He said it when he was told the laws. When were they told these laws? Much earlier. Just because the law didn't become practical until year two doesn't mean they weren't studying the laws during year one. So it means in year one, when they sat there and said, we're going to be building a tabernacle, or we're going to be making an encampment, and we're going to divide the camp by paternal lineage, at that point in time the fight started. He didn't have to wait for it to actually go into the elevator and stand next to the guy. He's like, wait a second, you're dividing things up in a year from now, in a year, by paternal lineage. Excuse me. I want to mention that I have an issue with paternal lineage. I want to go with maternal lineage, and my mom's a Jew, my dad's not. I'm like, yeah, you're out. And that's when the fight. He doesn't wait for the actual. When he heard the fight, he thought, when does the, as we said before, when did they start fighting over the money of the inheritance? Well, when the wills were written was when the guy was still alive, right? Every will had a signature, right? There's 14 wills, everyone was signed by the guy. No one's claiming that there was signature post-death because the fight begins earlier. So as soon as he heard about what was going to be in year two is when he began the fight in year one, and therefore they would have been in jail at the same time. So how do we get them to go to the jail at the same time? We either push this guy to year one, we push this guy to year two, we extend the jail sentence, or we just say they argue with each other. Question, of course.
Questions. Sanctuary cities. They are Miklot. Sanctuary cities.
Sanctuary cities.
They were told by Moshe. We learned the laws of them already. Right.
Yes. And it wasn't applicable until afterward.
Three. So
and why, nothing applicable.
So why those sanctuary cities are for no travel designation necessary. So that's a place you can live. Regardless of where they
you're
are.
You're saying you have an answer. You have a question. Irrelevant to the whole class.
They can say you don't have any land, but there's a city you'll be able to live in. There's at least three of the six of them.
I like that. You could have also, for the same price, said, and I like that. I was just going to say Levium, and you could say also, now Levium, they were fine with that. They had it. Or you could say where the base of Midrash was. They gave that to the Deathless family. Right? Where the actual base of Midrash was. Yes, you're saying, okay, but it looks like he wanted to be part of a tribe.
Well, he had Lovebird's tribe.
Lovebird.
What was his mother's tribe, by the way?
According to most, because it says here on 693, it says the name of the mother was Shalamis, the daughter of Devori, the tribe of Dan. So they say he stood next to Dan's tribe, which makes sense. His mother's tribe. He went to his mother's family and said, "I want in." And his mother's family was like, "No, you're not getting part of our inheritance. No way. No, we ain't looking to divide the loot."
He didn't kill anybody, the blasphemer. He didn't kill anybody. He just cursed. He blessed Hashem, as they say.
Yeah. Some say it's a Musa shmud because God's not affected by a curse, but yet you see it's a death penalty, potential death penalty punishment. That means when you treat people well, it doesn't matter if they're affected or not. That means I shouldn't curse at you. I shouldn't do something behind your back. Even you don't know about it. Even you don't know about it. And by cursing, it says don't curse the deaf. Rose, we did this 20 years ago. Why does it say don't curse the deaf? Rashi says, don't think the deaf guy can't hear it, he doesn't care. Don't curse. Which means even though the guy doesn't hear, he doesn't know what's going on. He's not affected by it from what he thinks. Correct. That's one of the lessons. He did not kill someone. But not all death penalties are based on murder. Obviously, we have a whole crew of death reasons to kill people. We believe in capital punishment.
Yes.
And we believe in capital punishment immediately, except for maybe the desert. For some reason, the Maral is saying not.
It's also treasonous, though, no?
What do you say? What do you say?
It's like treasonous in a way.
Treasonous.
The what?
To Hashem.
I think that the delay punishment.
No, treasonous.
No, the Mikalo.
Yeah.
It's like treason, huh?
Yeah. 100%.
The rabbi. Treason penalty.
Cursing God is treasonous.
The rabbi. That penalty. Don't you have to have 70 judges, 7-0?
No, 23.
23 judges.
Two witnesses.
But he got to be warned. He wasn't warned.
Oh, that's a big question. Man. That's a very good question.
Warned someone with the pasuk in the verse in the Torah, and there was no pasuk in verse.
That's a whole class. Remind me next year. It's a real class. Just for the teaser. Charles said, in order to properly punish someone by death penalty, he said not by this one. This one might not get death penalty. But we said the guy who violated Shabbos for sure gets the death penalty. But we're not sure which one. So I had to give him a warning. In order to have a proper warning, you got to tell the guy the specifics of how he's going to be punished.
Or his chorus.
No, that's garbage. What?
It comes before that because this would be the first death penalty. So they have to come with a procedure.
Yes, that's part of the question.
They have to come up with a whole procedure.
Maybe we'll do that next year if I remember.